Rabbi Vefer, since I started to learn about Torah and Judaism, so many people have come up to me and said, well, if it helps, if that's what you need, go ahead, as long as you're not hurting anyone, that kind of stuff. A lot of people say that religion is like a crutch for the weak, that just like can't stand up on their own two feet in life. And, you know, they'll say things like, I'm perfectly happy. Why should I bother with that? What would you answer to that?
Well, Adrian, in the summertime, I was at the driving range, golf driving range with my sons. And a friend of my son's arrived at the driving range, and I was helping my kids, you know, get their swing and improved. And this young man took up the mat right next to us, and he just put his ball down, and like a gorilla, he swung back and pow, right? And he just clobbered the ball, just like a gorilla.
Yeah.
And I watched him do it a couple times. And I went up to him and I said, you know, that's really good. You could really hit that thing a long way. Can I give you a couple? Would you like a couple pointers on how to, you know, get some technique down? And he said, no, I'm perfectly happy clobbering the ball like this.
Uh-huh.
And he proceeded to do the same thing and finished his day, went back to my sons who were very much interested in having me sort of help them out with their swing. Well, by the end of the day, my kids were doing great. The other guy was perfectly happy. So I think that's what really comes down to, Adrian, is what people's goals are in life. If you go up to somebody and say, you know, would you like to take some tennis lessons? Or Adrian, I don't know, are you a golfer?
No.
Okay. If I went to a crowd of people and I said, I've got some free golf lessons. Anybody want to come and take some golf lessons with a golf pro? Who do you think the first person's going to raise their hand and say, I'm coming?
Probably a person who plays the game.
Right. Probably the best golfer in the group.
Why is that? What is that?
Because somebody who has an appreciation of what they want to achieve, they know that if they depend solely on their own talents, they're not going to be able to grow past what their own limitations are. The only way you can become better than who you are on your own is by getting expert advice from somebody who can share with something you don't know.
So that you're not relying on your subjective point of view?
Yeah, your subjective point of view will get you so far. If you want to get past, beyond yourself, to become better than who you are, that what you were born with, you need some outside help, advice. So if your goal is to be happy, you know, you say, can I teach you about how to be happy or how to have a good marriage? Who's going to come to the marriage class that wants to have a good marriage? The people that are working on it, they feel it's important, they're striving at it, they're going to want to learn. The person who's going to put down someone who's studying and getting information on how to become a better human being is somebody who's satisfied with who they are. If their goal in life is not to be the greatest human being that they can become, then they're not going to be interested in studying and getting resources and tools.
But Rabbi Vefer, these same people who say these kind of things are perfectly happy to take professional development for their work or go have a golf lesson. What is it about spirituality that is so offensive in terms of that being a training ground for life?
It's not offensive. It's a misconception about what religion is.
Okay.
And people think that religion are a set of rules and regulations to connect to feel more Jewish or something like that. But they don't understand that the word Torah means instructions.
Right.
It's a user's guide.
But for
it's a
what?
User's guide for life. It's a user's guide to become the greatest person you can be to achieve the ultimate happiness and pleasure that life has to offer, which includes, we said another time when we were together, not just physical pleasure, not just emotional pleasure, but spiritual pleasure to add the spiritual dimension, to give you all three aspects. If a person is interested in doing that and understands that's what religion is, it's just pro lessons on how to be a great father, mother, human being, business associate, friend. If they understood that's what it was, then the same people who are taking a Dale Carnegie course or a golf lesson will say, great, I want to come and study on how to be a good person. But it all depends on two things. What's their goal? Is there a goal to become greater, better than they already are. Many people don't have the self-confidence or self-image to do that. And it's usually quite the opposite. It's the people that, like you, who are involved in religion are the people that have the self-image and the self-confidence to grow and become something different than they already are, that have the courage and the strength. It's the people who are need the crutch of avoiding it to be able to stay comfortable where they are.
Okay, so does that imply, by implication, does that say that physical pleasure is easier to acquire than spiritual pleasure?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that.
People sometimes think they're getting physical pleasure, but they're not really.
Give me an example.
Relationship between men and women.
Right.
So some young guy can be dating all around and all the girls in the world thinking he's having lots of physical pleasure.
Right.
But he doesn't understand the real power that's available with that act when it's done in a context with one woman under Kedushin with the sanctity of marriage.
So are you saying that we
all... It's a much more physically satisfying experience when the spiritual dimension is added. But somebody who's never experienced it won't believe it.
So
they'll think they're having the greatest relationship in the world.
So then there's another level of pleasure, you're saying, beyond what we in the outside world perceived as being the ultimate pleasure. Where is the hint towards that? How would a person know? Do you ever have an experience?
I just want to clear it up.
Okay.
I just want to say that, let's say the example of the relationship between the man and the woman,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that there's the physical pleasure and then we're going to add a spiritual dimension to it.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
What I'm saying is when I do it in the spiritual context, the actual physical pleasure is different.
It is?
It is.
Well, how could that be?
Let's make it a little bit easier.
Okay.
Sitting down at your Shabbat dinner for a meal.
Okay.
You can have a pleasure going out to a restaurant in the middle of the week.
Uh-huh.
And have the same roast beef with potatoes dinner and a glass of wine.
Uh-huh.
And it tastes a certain way.
Uh-huh.
But when you add the dimension of Shabbat and the Kiddush and the guests and the speaking of the Torah, the actual experience of eating the food becomes different.
Okay, so this is really interesting because, I mean, at different points in my life, say if I was upset about something, I ate that same roast beef, potatoes, and red wine, and it was tasteless, but there was nothing wrong with my taste buds.
Right.
Okay, so you're saying that the brain, the soul, what drives pleasure then? Is it the soul or is it the body?
Well, Your body is just sending signals to your brain, meaning if we just take a physical look at it, it's all happening in your mind. From a scientific point of view, it's all in your mind.
Explain that.
Well, I don't know if we have enough time to talk about it here today.
I really want to hear this.
But if you there were experiments done, you know, with open brain surgery here actually in Toronto a long time ago that were Wilder Penfield did these experiments where you could stimulate certain parts of your brain and the person would be flashed back immediately to their fourth birthday party and they'd be tasting the chocolate cake. So the actual experience is going on in our brain. The stimulus is coming from, say, our taste buds, but it's sending a signal into our brain, but we experience it in our brain.
Now, what sends the signal to the brain? Is it the body or is there a source? Is there
a
root?
But the body is sending the signals. There's physical stimuli, but what we're doing is we're giving a context for those stimuli as well. We're enhancing it. What we're doing is we're providing a spiritual stimuli, emotional stimuli, as well as the physical stimuli that create a combined experience. And there's no comparison between the one and the other.
So you're saying that I assume you're saying that learning Torah, learning instructions for living, is going to help you figure out how to integrate those experiences and achieve a higher level of pleasure?
Absolutely. That's what the teaching is. It's a tool. And I'm not going to be able to figure out how to do that because it's a recipe, combining the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual together.
Uh-huh.
It's like you were giving the example of just eating the food. If I'm just focusing on the food for the food's sake, it's going to be one kind of an experience. So I need to have the tools to figure out, to learn how to add in the emotional and the spiritual component to transform the actual experience.
Okay, so help me find some answers. What do you say? What do I say when someone says, this is a crutch?
So a crutch is a tool for somebody to get to where they need to get to who's limping.
Right.
Who can't get there on their own. So I would actually agree with them and say, you know something, it actually is a crutch because on my own 2 feet, without any help, I can't achieve my potential. I can't become the greatest person I can be. I can't have that transcendent experience when I'm just having my meal. So I do need a crutch. A crutch is an extra tool that I need to achieve my goal. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. And it's going to help me get there because I can't do it on my own. I can't achieve all the things I want to achieve in life on my own. And everybody knows that. Otherwise, why would they go to school? Why is it so important for us to send kids to school and to get an education at university? Because we know that they can't achieve their goal of becoming a lawyer or becoming a sound engineer on their own. You need to take a course from somebody who knows better. On your own 2 feet, you can't get there. You
so
need a crutch.
Why do people concentrate then, do you think, on why do they concentrate on the system and the limitations placed upon you? Limitations is probably the wrong word.
That's how they look at it. Prohibitions, limitations.
Okay.
It's cramping my style.
Right. Okay. So how do you respond to that? Isn't it?
Again, I don't blame people for that because that's our perception through lack of education or misconception. So I'm not going to fight people on it. I'm just going to ask them, so what's your goal? What do you want to achieve in life? So what are your work? What's important to you? Like, how do you want to be different next year than this year? You know, I want to spend more time with my kids, be a better parent. Say, great. That's terrific. You want to be a better parent? Got some tools here in our Jewish tradition that teaches you how to be a better parent.
So can you pick and choose, like sort of what I like to think of as Judaism a la carte? Can you go and learn about a particular area that interests you? Let's say your goal is to succeed in business by the time you're 50. Can you go and learn, is there a route, a Jewish route to success in business? And is it considered successful even if you're not financially viable?
Again, if God created humanity, he knows us better than anybody else, and he knows the instructions or the user's guide, the user's manual, how to get the most out of a human being. I know a few people that have more than one PhD. I know one that's got a PhD in nuclear physics and oceanography. He didn't do them at the same time. So if we want to achieve our potential, I think it's a little bit unreasonable to assume that we can do everything all at once. So I would coach people to say, you know, what area do you want to work on? And see how you can use these tools to become better in that area. Once you've accomplished your gut competency in that area, move on to another area. You can't do it all at once. It's impossible. We're limited. We're human beings.
This is really good. So you know what? Thank you. I'm going to take my crutch and walk proudly down the street with it now. Thank you so much, Rabbi Beffer.
Okay.
Okay.